Hello again. Welcome back to Smell You Later, the only podcast that exists.
I'm so happy that we do this every week.
I know. It's like a, I was going to say book club, but it's not like that at all, actually.
But you can't read, Tynan, so.
Only one of us can read. Guess who?
No, this is good. I love it.
I feel like it's been a big, has it been a big week for fragrance drops? I don't know. Every time I get a new perfume, I'm like, this is amazing.
Wait.
Christmas.
I, surprise, have an axe to grind.
Oy.
Because I saw on your Instagram story that you got Replica Matcha Moment.
I did.
And I fucking
did. Did you not?
Yet.
Wait, no. I just got it today. So maybe it's,
I know.
Well, maybe that was what UPS was delivering.
Oh, you know what? UPS just delivered something.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
it's probably shit. Okay.
You tend to get things a day earlier than I, though.
Really?
No, but yeah. That's what I think in my head. That. You have received things earlier.
You're just like, every time it happens, I remember it.
I don't even want the fragrance. I just like hate it's, being left out.
Yeah,
you like it though, right?
I do like it. I haven't put it on my body yet, but I just sprayed it like in the air and I like it.
I just read something about it and I was like, oh no, this does sound good. But you know what, Sable? I think it's time for us all just to come to the table and admit that y'all are lying about liking matcha. Okay, you can say it. Wait, it's fine.
The beverage?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I do.
Wait, does
like...
anyone know what we're talking about?
Wait, do people not know what matcha is?
No, Replica Margiela, for context, for this tangent,
yes,
is releasing a fragrance called Matcha Moment, like as we speak.
Matcha Meditation.
Oh, whatever. It's, I would know the name if I had it. So that's, yes, anyways. We can all just admit that we were drinking matcha to drink matcha, and now we can leave it in the past, just like kombucha.
People still drink kombucha and matcha. You know, you have to have gone to that like matcha cha-cha place.
Cha-cha matcha. Nope. It's canceled.
No. But it's so pink. It's so
it
you.
It is so pink.
Wait, yeah, why are they
pink
canceled?
Pink and neon. They were posting shit about our former president.
Wait, they're pro-Trump?
Yeah.
Plot twist.
Yeah. I mean, they were one of those brands that like the owner or owners were posting like pro-Trump shit like during all of last year and everything. Much like... Oh, what is that? God. What is that glitter shit?
Lemonhead.
They're canceled too. I mean, listen.
God, those poor social media people who work for these brands. Yeah. And then they have to answer for the founders' problematic views.
They're like, dude.
Ugh.
No social media manager is getting
Wait,
paid enough.
Let me guess. I haven't looked into this at all. Is the founder of Matcha Chacha or Chacha Matcha, whatever the fuck?
A white man.
Ah, that alone.
I know.
I don't fucking care if you're into Trump. That alone. Stay away from our matcha and our cha-cha. Neither for you. Both are things that are not for you.
Right. Right. Ugh. Do you like matcha?
I do, but I like it with a lot of milk. I can't take it straight up. It gives me a tummy ache.
I went through a matcha phase in like 2017. And
a phase. I guess we all did. I love a matcha latte.
I was making matcha like protein shakes.
Whoa.
That sounds right. I don't know. A lot has happened since then. Who knows what I was doing in 2017.
Very good for you, apparently, and has a better caffeine distribution than coffee, so you don't have a crash. Like, so you get like the buzz of caffeine, but it doesn't like make you crash later, allegedly. Right. I don't know. I think I'm immune to caffeine. Like, it doesn't do anything to me. Yeah, it's straight up matcha. I actually remember going to a Byredo event, like, in store. And it was early in the morning. It was having to do with incense. I think they were, like, releasing an incense candle or something. I don't remember. This was, like, several years ago. And they had us watch a Japanese incense ceremony, and they were serving fresh matcha. But it was just like matcha straight up. So I was like drinking this matcha, sitting in like a little square and cushions around this man doing this ceremonial matcha ceremony, which, by the way, like takes forever. It's like very long.
And yeah.
I think in total it was like 25 minutes of just sitting there looking at this dude like kind of do like sand art on incense powder. Well, that's kind of what it looked like. Not trying to disrespect the ritual, but at the same time, it was so funny watching all of these editors around me like, glancing at their phones. They have to answer all these Slack messages, but they don't want to be disrespectful. And then some of them just had to like leave. Because a lot of early morning beauty events, like when you're an editor, like the morning is always the rush time when you have to like trail for news stories, quote unquote news. So they're like juggling attending an event plus answering just like a shitload of Slack messages. And yeah, it was really funny. They're like getting up like, I'm sorry. And like leaving.
That's so funny.
I'm like, this poor man is doing this virtual for us. And we're just like, I'm sorry, I'm a New York girl. I don't have time for this.
Right. Ungrateful.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I was ignoring all of my Slack messages and then got in trouble as I did all the time.
Oh, please.
Oh, well.
I would like to see anyone try to tell you anything. Or me, for that matter.
It doesn't go over well. This is why I freelance. And everyone's like, we love working with you. And you're like, I know, in this capacity.
Yeah, I'm great when I'm like, my own boss.
You would not want me as an employee, trust me. Anyway, God, where were we going before we went on a matcha tangent? No one likes matcha.
You like matcha. And you
I like matcha lattes. I love, you know what's funny? I love green tea fragrances, but they do not for anything smell like green tea.
No.
But they all kind of smell similar. And I think, I don't know who decided it, but I do feel like all these people who made green tea scents just like decided on an accord.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, it smells to me just like clean, green, kind of zesty and citrusy.
Yeah, I was going to say like green and citrusy for sure.
Yeah, but that's not what green tea smells like to me. No. And I understand that there are many different types of green tea. I remember being really excited when Rag & Bone out of left field made a Genmaicha fragrance. And Genmaicha is like one of my favorite kinds of green tea. It's it has like roasted rice bits in it. And then they sent it to me. This was like 2 years ago, I think. It smells terrible.
Oh,
like,
no.
It didn't smell like Genmaicha, but it just smelled bad.
Oh no. I didn't know Rag & Bone did scents.
I didn't either. And then bam, they did. They're actually like, they're quite nice. They had a Manoy one that was really nice. It just kind of smells like the Manoy flower, which is the TR flower. Sorry. So that's like a pretty summery islandy scent. But I was like, damn, I don't know where you guys went wrong with this kombucha, but this smells real bad.
Oh, shit.
It was just unpleasant.
Like, there's truly nothing worse than like being so excited to get your hands on a fragrance. Then it finally shows up and you're like, yeah. And then you smell it and you're like, oh,
I know,
you know.
I want someone to make a hojicha fragrance, which is like the roasted green tea, which is my favorite. And they make it in all sorts of like dessert form. There's like hojicha Kit Kats and lattes and all this stuff. Yeah. But I was like, no, make it a perfume.
We're giving away so many free ideas on this show.
Right? Byredo. You don't have a hojicha scent. You should make one.
Where are you at, Byredo? Ben Quaran.
I'm like, he likes Japanese stuff, right? Yeah.
Come on the show so we can boss you around.
Yeah. Come on the show, bring a pad and paper.
Okay, so this week I started thinking.
Ooh.
I got to thinking and I was like, you know those reviews that we tell everyone to leave every week? Where do those go? where would I find those? Because I think you and I were talking about some random review and it was nice. So then I was like, where do those live? Not that I've never seen them before, but like maybe I haven't.
They're only on Apple Podcasts. Like Spotify doesn't have reviews.
Oh, weird. Well, I tracked them down. The girls like us. Can you believe?
Can you believe?
I know that we started our last podcast just talking about loving ourselves for like 20 minutes. So I don't really want to go that route again. But like, I'm just so happy that y'all are happy, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good when things are good. Wow, my brain.
I mean, like, I'm not super used to being that good at anything. So it's good to know that the people who are listening are happy.
Wait, is it like uncool to have a podcast now?
I
keep seeing all these memes about like men with podcasts. I'm like, is it that men are uncool or podcasts are uncool?
Well, both. Men have always been uncool, but podcasts are recently uncool. Like, it's only uncool to have a podcast if you're a guy. So like the cards were always stacked against me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that's I feel fine. Like you're gay and I'm not a dude, so I feel like it balances out. It's allowed.
That's true. And like also I'm gay, so like things have never been like great for me, you know what I mean? So like if I'm uncool cuz I have a podcast, like that's fine. I could be like six other reasons why I'm also uncool. But you know what? I'm gorgeous. So
that's all that matters.
That's fine.
Gosh, how are those Dewey dudes doing then? Should we check on them?
Dude, their memes are getting so fully out of control. If you don't know Dewey Dudes, they started as a skincare meme account.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Which like doesn't sound funny, but it's very funny because they're very online. They're very into skincare and they just work. And they're like, they're not afraid. I don't mean to be like, they're not afraid to go there. But like, sometimes I'm like, you put this on the internet. This is so foul. And this is coming from someone that said cock on the last podcast, but they're so funny. And like their podcast is very funny, but the Dewey Dudes are fine though, because like they're, I can't put, never mind.
Maybe just because they're like, they hold court over that particular niche topic. I feel like, you know, when people rag on dudes with podcasts, like, I don't know, dudes talking about like the New Yorker or like,
right,
I don't know, boring stuff that dudes like, Die Hard. Ugh.
Dewey Dudes are in on the joke. You know what I mean? Like they've already made the joke before you get there. They don't take themselves like too seriously like me.
Yeah.
If you want something serious, don't listen to a podcast. Get a life. Sorry. Okay, I'm done. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Oh boy. Okay. Ooh, this is a good one.
Wait, I actually don't know what you smell like. I'm so excited. I usually know, but I don't.
Surprise, bitch. I did a little experiment based on a half brain theory I had. So I am wearing on both wrists, two different wrists. One wrist I sprayed Killian Intoxicated, and the other wrist I sprayed Killian Black Phantom, because I was trying to figure out by nose, one of them smells quite similar to Terry Mugler Angel, and I've deduced that it's Black Phantom. However, Black Phantom is like the drier version. It's almost like Angel Light, because Angel is super gourmandy and syrupy and very nectary sweet. But Black Phantom has that vibe of like the warm, spicy gourmand, but then it has this really, really good dry down that takes it to like, I don't know, like a musky, woody place that I feel like for people who kind of like Angel, but are also like, okay, I'm done now. Like they'll like Black Phantom.
Yeah.
Because it's just like a slightly more subtle version. And I don't know. I didn't look up the notes just because I wanted to not be affected by that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Black Phantom, it reads kind of masculine, but it is very sweet in like a dark, concentrated, nectary way. That's like, I just think of one of those country clubs or those, you know, gentlemen's social clubs where there's a lot of dark mahogany and like brown liquors and everyone wears really, really expensive bespoke wool suits. But I don't know, sexier. Like it's not stuffy. It's kind of sexy and fast. Like I go to this fancy men's club, but I also ride motorcycles.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Question. Where did you get all these Killian fragrances from?
You.
Oh,
you sent me the discovery set.
That's right. Wait. Okay. Intoxicated is
so good.
One. Oh my God. Getting emotional. It is like my second favorite fragrance of all time. Next to 1996 and Before Cloud.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, Intoxicated is like sexy as hell.
It's exquisite.
But
it's
in a very
coffee scent.
Yeah, it's very like sexy, but in a buttoned up kind of like sexual tension way. To me, it's, this is the scent of sexual tension.
Intoxicated. Oh my God. Intoxicated is so good. It's like coffee and like, oh my God. It's like, it's just plush and I can't even speak. The first time I smelled it, they sent me one of their like Killian sample vials, which is huge. And I just smelled it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And
then
I was like, you've got to send me this. They have no choice. And then they sent me the full one. And it's just, oh my God.
Yeah. That shit is when you mean business. Intoxicated is when you're like, I didn't come here to go home alone.
No.
I am not going home alone tonight.
God, all I can do is moan. It's so good.
I feel like Killian's whole MO is like everything is sexy, like sexy, sexy, sexy. Sure. And he does live up to it though. His fragrances are very sexy.
He does. But also like everyone's idea of what is sexy is different.
Yes.
Obviously. But like this, I don't like some super masculine fragrances are people consider sexy. Some super floral and perfumey. But like this, I don't think there's any debate. It is so stunning. Ugh.
It does feel like, I feel like Killian, maybe because he is European, it's like a very European sensibility or approach to like sensuality, because it's very confident and knows what it wants, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey, I like you. Sup?
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't hold back either. You know? I don't think any of his fragrances do.
Yeah. Like, it's not like aggressively like, you know, like come do me. It's more just like, you're just radiating like a sexy, confident vibe,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but like, you're totally chill and you're like, this is my vibe. Like, come over here if you're into it. And if not, yeah. it's cool too.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I support that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, both those scents, Black Phantom and Intoxicated, I am obsessed with fully. And I feel like he would probably, well, I don't know. I can't put words in his mouth, but I'm like, I feel like they're made for a masculine customer or fragrance wearer. But God, on a woman.
Do you think?
When we get out of this Panera,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and I'm going to rock up to the joint. I don't know what joint yet. Doused in Black Phantom. Look out.
I think Intoxicated, if we're having that conversation, is fully unisex. I think it's just as good on guys as it does a woman. Uh-huh. Or whatever you identify as.
Yeah. I think especially on the dry down, Intoxicated.
Yeah.
It just becomes so much warmer and so much more honey-like. Woo! I'm like smelling my wrist again.
I mean, I would be too. I wear that and just smell myself all day.
Yeah. The good thing about Kilian fragrances is that like, they're expensive, but they do last like all day.
Truly.
Yeah. So you get a lot of longevity out of that. It's an energizer battery.
We love.
Tynan, what do you smell like?
I smell so good today. I love myself so much. And like, I'm obsessed with what I'm wearing. And I thought you were going to be wearing it today, but then you told me you weren't. So I wore it.
Ooh.
I am wearing the new, I was worried it wasn't out yet, but
I know. I'm like, are you allowed to say this?
Yeah, it's not on retailers yet, but it's everywhere else. Drops today. So by the time this airs, we'll be fine. It is the new Kylie Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper.
Oh, the SDPP.
Yeah, that's the full name. And I don't really know why, because all of the rest of their fragrances are like the name and a number. Sort of like,
yeah,
like musk, vanilla 22, musk 44, whatever the fuck.
Wait, doesn't this one have a number as well?
No.
Okay. I thought it did. Never mind.
So. Yep. Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper 25. So just stacking those names on today.
Why 25?
It took them 25 iterations to get it right.
Oh, well, that's cute.
Yeah, that is cute. Okay. So we both got this.
We did.
And so I know that you liked Kylie scent and I had never tried them before.
Yeah. I like them I think they're really interesting. I don't know if they're for me personally, but I do think that they're good. Like, I think they're good scents.
The core collection has four fragrances, mm-hmm. musk, vanilla, citrus, and elixir, which is like a bunch of notes. And they are made to wear alone or to layer. I personally think they are better alone. They also sent me that whole collection. So
yeah, same. Through them.
I think they're really lovely. I'm obsessed with the vanilla, but this one,
really like their citrus, I will say.
Do you?
So that's why I do like their citrus. I think it's really interesting for like a quasi one note fragrance.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is why I was like, oh, of course SDPP is going to be good, because if citrus is this good, if they can do something so sophisticated with just the idea of citrus, like clearly they're going to do something great with pink pepper.
It was like, citrus is to me is like a perfumey take on citrus. And I mean that in like a nice way.
Yeah, yeah, totally. In an artistic way. Absolutely. Yeah.
But oh my God, Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper 25.com is like, so this is the first one that I tried before I worked my way through the other collection. And it is so, so good.
Yeah. It's so,
oh my God,
sophisticated.
So I've been wearing it. And then I looked up the notes and it kind of ruined it. So I don't know if I want to run through those or not, honestly.
No.
So to me, the name, again, Sweet Diamond Pink Pepper, you're getting pink, you're getting feminine, you're getting sweet, obviously. And it is all those things, but it's also really, really, it's like half sweet and pink and half really dark and earthy, like very dark and earthy and resinous. To me, that side of it almost takes over the sweetness of it. It's like,
it doesn't read super sweet to me.
Oh my God, it reads so, it's like very sweet, but also very dark at the same time. It's like a yin yang.
Mm.
And I know when I say this, they're going to be like, shut up, bitch. But if it, the best way I can describe it is like, if you took a Byredo scent in the way that they, when they do this, when they're dark and earthy and sinuous, and then shot it through my imagination, where it's like hot pink and super pink. Sweet and just rock candy and sugar. This is that. It is so good. I first time I experienced it, I was like, oh my God, like, what are we doing today?
I feel like you just described if like Byredo did like a Lisa Frank collab.
Completely, completely.
Yeah.
So I might cut these out because I really don't think they matter. But for notes, at the top, there's bergamot, pink pepper, lily, and saffron. In the middle, there is Bulgarian rose, rose centrifolia. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. And then the base is sandalwood, patchouli, musk, and amber. And like, okay, sure. But none of it is that. It's just...
Yeah, that doesn't fully say anything to me.
No, not at all. It is fully something... I would almost, Sable, venture to say that I've never smelled anything like this, question mark.
It's very unique, yeah.
It's very unique.
It's very unique and very multifaceted. It has like tons of angles about it, but it's not that it's sharp to me, but that it's very angular as it's a
super
scent.
Assertive.
Yeah, yes. It's very assertive and like obviously peppery. Like obviously, I don't know. It's stupid to like use the name to describe what it is. But like,
well, they have like literally every word in the English language in the name. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I feel like maybe they called it diamond because of its multifaceted kind of nature. Like I can see that because it does smell to me like a crystal. And even the bottle is like a metallic pink. It smells like a metallic pepper.
It's
like weird. A metallic fruit. That's what it smells like to me.
It's like they took a fragrance that was far too feminine and bright and sweet, and then took a fragrance that was far too masculine and dark and black and choky and put them together.
Mm.
I'm going to be on my Sable Young tip right now, but it's like Paris Hilton wearing a motorcycle leather jacket on a motorcycle.
Sure.
It smells like pink sugar and tire tread.
Ooh.
You know?
Very good it's, girl gone bad. It's so bad girl gone pink.
Yeah, for real. I can't. That's the name of the episode.
It's like Pink Batman.
Ugh. I just like, and I'm so happy this is going to be in Sephora because I truly just want everyone to smell it. It's so good.
Yeah, I am interested to see like what the reception is like on this one because people loved Kaoli when it came out and they had such a singular, well, not singular, but like, you know, a particular concept. Where it's single note concept fragrances that are meant to be layered. But like with this one, I'm like, yo, the layers are there. You don't need to add any more layers to this.
Totally. Absolutely. Oh my God.
It's... So I'm like, huh, they're taking it in a real interesting direction.
I was like, good on you, Kale. No, totally. Also, Mona Katan is joining us pretty soon. The CEO of Kaoli. We shouldn't say that. I hate hype. I mean, she might cancel on us. So she might be. Sable. We have to have a conversation.
I know. It's been so, you know, we've been dancing around the subject and finally we're like, look, we got to clear this shit out because it's just, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. It's 2021.
Yep. We're living in a post-vax world, guys.
Post-vax world. Yes. Yeah. We're getting back out there.
Oh my God.
Do you hear this fucking horn in the background?
Yes, I do.
I'm trying to record a podcast, ma'am.
Traffic will not move any faster the more you honk.
God, this is what I fucking hear from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. every night. Oh, and I
dude,
wonder
because you're right on like 10th Ave, man.
I live like in the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah. These people just trying to go home to New Jersey.
God. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Okay. It's 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a post-vax hashtag stop Asian hate world. God, I hate these hashtags, man. They gotta, you know what? I would hate any hashtag to be fair. So nothing against that's it true. Personally, but
that's true. they do too.
Insult to injury.
My windows are closed, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so as you all know, there is a fragrance family called Oriental, and it's just been the way that fragrance has been categorized for decades. I would say almost a century now, but as we've read on the internet, it started with Shalimar in 1925. So thanks a lot, Shalimar. But oriental fragrances basically mean fragrances that contain notes with quote-unquote oriental ingredients, which are basically just spices like cardamom, saffron, peppers, and all of them, vanilla, tonka bean. What am I missing? I'm missing a lot, probably.
No, you're fine. I think though, the one thing that we maybe should contextualize real quick is oriental is a scent profile.
Yes.
And we've talked about this a little bit, but it's just a way, as Sable said, to categorize scents. Oriental is one, and the name is ugly, but the others are, you know, floral, fresh, woody. Those are, you know, the big umbrella terms. We can sort of break them down further, but in you know, the quick grabs of the type of fragrance that, you know, you're looking at or you want to buy, you might gravitate toward. You might like florals, you might like fresh fragrances, woodies, or orientals. And three of those four names are just fine. Those are just descriptors of what they literally smell like. They smell like flowers, they smell like wood. And then you get to oriental and you kind of throw the brakes on. So this is for context.
Yeah. So it's a historical term that just means ingredients associated with that part of the world. Mm-hmm. So all the things I said before, you know, and also like, you know, stuff from the Middle East, oud, sandalwood, frankincense, myrrh, all those sort of really warm, heavy, spicy, intricate scents. And they're all from the Orient, which I guess in like the 1920s, people still called it that. I don't know. I wasn't alive then. But yeah, allegedly the first perfume to market itself as an Oriental fragrance was Guerlain Shalimar. And we should also say that there isn't a ton of critique on this online. We both kind of rooted around and I'm like, why aren't more people talking about this? Like, this is kind of weird. And we found one article on flair.com written by Madeline Chung. This was in 2019, so not too long ago. And it's a very thoroughly researched article. It's this really article good.
Slaps.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes. Guerlain described Shalimar's Oriental because, quote unquote, its suave gourmand notes recall the sweet balsams of the land of the 1001 nights, whatever the fuck that means. Yeah, so they were like inspired by the Orient and that's what they meant. And obviously Shalimar is a hugely popular classic fragrance. So thanks a lot, Shalimar. And everybody was like, oh, what are these new Oriental fragrances? And we all want them now. So then it kind of just popped off from there.
But it's like, how are we in a beauty industry that is so prolific, just tripping over its dick to put out new product after new product after new product? And in, you know, like you said, the 2021 post-vax, post, you know, social justice, etc., how is this word still rolling off of everyone's tongues without even a second thought? Because you would never call someone or
no.
Yeah. And so it's like, how I feel like that is
the reason you don't call people Oriental is because that's the colonizer term. Mm-hmm. One could argue like, oh, well, Oriental just means Asian, right? So what's the difference? They're interchangeable. And it's like, no, Asia is a continent and there are many countries in Asia. So people are literally Asian because they're from Asia. But like the Orient is a made up word from white colonizers about Asia. So that's why it's not so hip to use that. It's kind of fetishy. We don't like it.
No.
Yeah. Even Oriental rugs. I'm like, what'd you say?
Right. Well, and I think like, God, on like our first or second episode when we just touched on this. It's like, I think I remember saying like, I don't even think it tells you anything. Like today's consumer, if you're not like entrenched in beauty and fragrance, like we are. I mean, if you're reading a product page, you're like, what does it smell like? If you were to read this fragrance is Oriental, what do you take from that? Like, you may not even understand what that means, especially like people of the Gen Z generation.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like, and I would love to think that the word Oriental may have just been filtered out by the time that they, you know, are growing up. So, I mean, not that they wouldn't know what the fuck it means, but it's just like, I don't know.
It was basically a marketing term. Like, yeah. Back in the beginning of its use, it was a marketing term that basically sold fragrance through the exoticizing and fetishizing of Asian culture and the mysteriousness. It's like, oh, right. This exotic fragrance from all the way over there, which I've never been to with those weird people. So it's a marketing term, but then it's still stuck because it's just, like you said, an umbrella term for all these ingredients that honestly I think are far more descriptive.
Yeah.
And actually give you a sense of what this fragrance would smell like.
I don't understand why, and, you know, beauty marketing and beauty editorial, I say that being a beauty writer, I'm sure I've used the word Oriental to describe a scent in the last 10 years. And so I'm not innocent of it either, but it's like, why, especially in today's landscape, is this word still rolling off our tongues without a second thought when there are just so many other descriptions? There is a quote. Can I go back to this article?
Yeah.
There is a person quoted in the article named Dana El Masri, an independent perfumer and creator of Jasmine Sarai perfumes, which I have smelled before, actually. I think I pissed her off. and it says, she agrees, the term Oriental is outdated and unnecessary. It also doesn't say much about the fragrance family and has become more of a reference to a spice structure that was created in the 1920s than anything else. It is too broad a reference and perpetuates a typically Western point of view. She adds, there are more beautiful and descriptive words in the English language than we should use than that. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, is I can't sum it up any more than that. I mean, she nailed it all. Like, it's outdated. You could just say spice and there are other goddamn words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's lost its reference point and it doesn't even have its function point anymore. Even if it did at the time. I don't even know if it did. I think in the beginning, maybe it just became a word that encompassed this idea of these spices. But again, these spices that are considered quote unquote Oriental, they're so varied. Like, the range is so broad that I don't think it should house them all. The ingredient.
Right. Like, as our woods are as fresh or floral, those of course are green, or, you know, all of those things are so varied. I mean, green can be.
Sure. Absolutely.
Green notes can be super sweet. They can be super pungent, sour, bitter, fresh, all these things. And spice has that much range. So, yeah, I think there's an umbrella term that you can use. I think there are probably many if we all just fucking landed on one.
I think spice. They should just change it to spice.
I mean, doesn't that get you there? Isn't that a quick get?
Yeah. Like, does spice compete with gourmand? I don't think so, because gourmand could also mean chocolate and coffee, which are not spices. But gourmand can also include vanilla, which is a spice.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should change gourmand too, but not for the same reasons. I mean, it's not racist.
Fair enough.
Gourmand is not racist. It's just French.
Yeah. But, you know, to that point, like you said, green could be pine. But then pine could also be woody. So there's a lot of overlap. So I think it's totally fine to have spice and gourmand.
Like we said, I mean, there are in the fragrance.
Or like category, oud. Oud is considered an Oriental, but technically it's a tree sap. Why don't you call it woody?
Right. I think it was wood. But anyway, I think, like we've said before, in the fragrance profile Venn diagram, there's so much overlap, and that's fine because, like you said, woods can be wood I mean, it doesn't, and none of the other category terms are that like thought out or nuanced. It's floral.
Yeah. I mean, and we have words like ozonic, metallic. I feel like they've more easily adopted newer words to describe newer scents, like, you know, the more we get into synthetics, but for some reason are still holding on to Oriental, which doesn't make sense to me, because it just seems like this is really icky and it just seems lazy.
And to your point about Asia being a huge place.
Yeah.
There's another quote in this article from Alexa Nishimoto. Oh my God. Oh,
what
my
was
God.
That?
I don't know. Oh shit.
Did something break?
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's fine, whatever. Alexa Nishimoto, a freelance fashion designer, I'm leaving that in, and employee of the Japanese an employee of the Japanese American Museum in Los Angeles, says it feels like brands attempt to use one universal word to convey all Asian cultures, which is reductive to those who know the nuances of each culture can be varied and vastly different and don't fall under just one umbrella term. So exactly. I mean, like, hello.
I mean, obviously Asian people will tell you that.
Right.
Like, hi, we're not all the same. We're not a monolith. Right. Also, I feel like the global, not official, but like colloquial census includes the Middle East into Asia. Mm. And then the US, like we kind of separate them. Mm-hmm. Like the Middle East is the Middle East and Asia is East Asia, Southeast Asia, and India.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason, we separate the Middle East into its own thing. I'm sure for many also probably problematic reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, whatever those reasons are, I think that's another podcast.
The fact that Oriental also encompasses all of that. I'm like, dude, it's like you copied the homework, but you didn't even do a good job. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to use it anymore. And I'm truly curious what it would take to get rid of this term. I wonder, is this something that the Fragrance Foundation would be like, hey, we don't approve of this usage. So if you want to keep marketing your perfume saying it's Oriental, we're not going to recognize them, which they could do in the same way that, you know, like Allure said that they're not going to use the word anti-aging anymore.
Yeah.
Like kind of same vein, maybe not same exact thing, but I feel like it does take a big, respectable fragrance authority to make that claim.
I don't know, girl. I totally agree with you, but I think the Fragrance Foundation, what number one, that would be dope if they did that. But I think the Fragrance Foundation, we should ask them actually. I think something like the Fragrance Foundation doing that and expecting the brands who are trying to like get their coin to just fall in line, I think the brands would be like, do you understand who we are? But I think though,
I don't
personally,
know.
Coming from an Estee Lauder brand, they, which I know comes with its own like level of problematicness, but they were very, so I worked for a brand owned by Estee Lauder. And for example, they sent out sort of within the year, this thing about like, I don't know, not diversity inclusion, but just like sensitivity in the way that when you talk about skincare, you don't talk about skin lightening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or there are just ways that you don't talk about like correcting when it comes to a skin tone, just like things like that, that like are problematic when not thought about. And like, I thought it was actually a pretty decent guide. So it's like, we're Coty to send that out and be like, we're not using Oriental. Right. This won't get approved. You know, here are other descriptors. Here's the umbrella term that we are now using.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think like, you know, like,
because they're the literal gatekeeper.
Yeah. It's like, if you want to sell the product, I don't know, make it make sense to your consumer.
Mostly that.
Totally.
There's literally no reason why. I feel like there's no strong reason that one could argue in favor of its use.
No, absolutely not.
At this point, I could see like, I don't know, like they're still making, are they still making Shalimar? Like,
is it,
okay. If like the makers of Shalimar, if Guerlain is like, we've been selling this perfume this way for literally like almost a century. So it seems weird to change it now. Like I could see that being their argument because that's a huge marketing change. I still think it's not a great, I still think it's like very much so like you're gonna stay in the past, but
yeah.
Also, I feel like at a certain point, like, the people who love Shalimar are like dying. So, like, if like so they're like kind of dying. But like,
if it was like Shalimar exclusively, I could see Guerlain like putting up that fight. I still don't think it's a good fight.
Exactly. Yeah, I would understand why.
Since that fragrance specifically started, I'd be like, ugh, okay, like you have an argument here. Is it good? No.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
Without changing the notes, like you're not changing the notes. You're not changing the packaging. If you just
changing the name.
Yeah. If you just change the copy in the website.
One word.
Yeah. And just put a word there that more accurately describes what the product is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could that not be helpful? And why hasn't anyone done this yet?
Yeah, I guess it's weird to me. What I keep going back to is just the fact that it's still all over product pages and shit. You know, like, this is still getting approved. And it's like, no one's thinking about this. And I don't quite know why. And like, I don't know, man. Having been on the inside, like, people, things are moving so fast. But it's like, I don't know. Never mind. Fine.
I think a fragrance is like Opium by Yves Saint Laurent. And that, I think, is very much so considered an oriental fragrance. So opium launched in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amber fragrance, very, very heavily kind of inspired by the Orient, as it were. And it's still popular. There are so many flankers, like Black Opium, which is maybe one of their more popular flankers of the scent. So, like, they do keep utilizing it.
It's not like we don't know the word is bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know this is common knowledge, but going back to this article, it mentions that in 2016, President Barack Obama signed a bill eliminating all known uses of the term Oriental from federal law.
Oh, thanks, and, Barack.
Right. At the time, Congresswoman Grace Meng of New York, who also sponsored the bill, referred to the term as insulting, outdated, and offensive, all of which I would agree with, in an official statement. She said, many Americans may not be aware of the word Oriental is derogatory, but it is an insulting term that needed to be removed from the books. So it's like...
Yeah.
We've all sort of had these conversations. I don't know that like we or anyone listening to this podcast would ever have a reason to use the word Oriental, or two would use it. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's just, we keep just spinning around the same topic, like the same answer. And it's like, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if the fragrance copywriters got that memo, Barack. Maybe you need to say so.
Come on, man.
Maybe we can just send like cease and desist for like, according to this decree
from us.
Yes. According to this new bill, you cannot say that.
I got a cease and desist from smell you later.
It's just like
two of our selfies.
Yeah. Oh, but going back to YSL Opium, the current product page on the brand's website, it doesn't say the word Oriental. It does mention the notes, Mandarin, bergamot, amber, and laced with a papano. I can't say that word.
Not laced with
a papano. Anyway, goes on to say, a final accord of deep amber laced with a papano, aka myrrh, imbues the scent with its celebrated rapture in a chic chinoiserie inspired flacon. You were so close. And then at the very end, I'm like, you had to say chinoiserie inspired.
Wait, I don't know what that means.
Chinoiserie meaning like of Chinese style.
Oh, God damn it.
Let me Google that word so I can define it correctly. Chinoiserie, the imitation or evocation of Chinese motifs and techniques in Western art, furniture, and architecture, especially in the 18th century. Yeah. So it's like all that like vaguely Asian looking art.
Yeah.
So I was like, you were so close. And then
yeah, you almost had it.
You just made it icky again. You left on an icky note. But like, I guess, cool. Thanks for not using Oriental.
Right.
I mean, I'm assuming that perhaps this must have just, that's truly just the brand of this particular fragrance. And they just want to stay true to that for reasons. And like, okay, I guess.
But people don't know it as that. People know it as opium, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's something completely of its own accord. And even like Black Opium, which is even further removed from the original scent, which to me like doesn't smell like a quote unquote Oriental scent at all.
Mm.
I don't think it's supposed to, but
no.
Yeah, I do feel like when people label stuff as Oriental, it's also very subjective.
Yeah.
Because there are many scents that have tons of spice notes and gourmand notes that they wouldn't call Oriental. And then there's Black Opium. I can't stop using that example, but like, and then there are scents that like have those for maybe one or two notes from the Asian continents, and they're like, it's Oriental. So I think it's truly subjective.
Truly.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Where do we go from here? What's the solution?
Fucking stop using it. I mean, like,
just
we can
it.
Scream about this all on our podcast all we want, but we're not the ones to, well, I mean, sometimes we are the ones doing the copy, but
yeah.
rarely are we the ones doing the
copy. I'm like, am I gonna, with our powers, our copy powers combined?
And I think it's a conversation worth starting and having, and, you know, people are talking so much more about beauty and in all of its forms, especially fragrance, especially this year.
Yeah.
You know, and people love to get mad, and they should. So hopefully if it's just, you know, starting the conversation, starting to think about the way that not only that you speak, but like the products that you interact with on a daily basis speak and sell themselves. And like, listen, you vote with your dollar, and
yeah.
I don't know, not to be like, stop buying more oriental fragrances till they stop using the word, but it's like,
because yeah, I don't think that's gonna correlate.
It's not quite as easy or fast as that, but it's also like you have to remember that like money talks, and you are the one giving your money to these brands. And
I do think that brands really do listen to consumer feedback.
I do too, especially
on social media now more than ever. And if enough people are just like, hey, this is kind of weird, could you like not, they would probably be like, oh shit, yeah, sorry.
Also, it's as easy as going in and changing a word on the product page.
Literally.
I mean, I don't mean to oversimplify it. I know that like retailers don't like to update the product pages. Sometimes it like has a cost for the brand, but you know, YSL has money, so they can pay to make an edit.
Wait, does it really cost $250?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, if they don't like you. Ooh. If they like you, or if you're a Sephora brand, it doesn't. But like, it's not cheap. Like, it's not
okay.
But so still, it's
like a penalty fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But also, it's in Sephora's best interest not to fucking propagate that shit either.
Yeah. Also, Sephora's run by the mob.
Like, clean that shit up, Sephora.
Yeah.
That doesn't pass the clean by Sephora standard.
Yeah. Not exactly. Problematic by Sephora.
Yeah.
That's another gate though. If retailers. Yeah. We're like, hey, we're not going to, we're not going to do this. Fucking Sephora loves to run its mouth about clean beauty, and it won't get started, but it's like, it doesn't exist. So it's like, if you can have a Sephora clean standard, which doesn't fucking mean anything, you can say, hey, don't say Oriental.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Sephora, Mr. President of Sephora, is it a dude? I don't know why I just assumed it was a dude. Probably is. Dear Sephora, do it.
Well.
Or just everybody who listens to this podcast, if you happen to see it in product copy, just be like, yo, sup with that?
Can you stop? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Tell them we sent you.
Tell them we sent you. Tag us. Tag us in your complaints.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Sephora sends us a cease and desist. Oh, that would be iconic.
I'll take it.
Come for me. It can't be bought. Just kidding, though. You know who I don't want after me? Sephora's legal.
They're like, this is the guy who would change all our PP pages.
Hire me, Sephora. Amazing.
Oh, man. Gosh. I don't know what else to say on the matter.
I think we said it all.
What do you guys think? I don't know. Yeah. What's the consensus?
Let us know in our DMs.
I'm like, wait, I'm not actually inviting anyone to argue with us, because I'm like, no, this is the correct and only opinion. I'm sorry.
You don't need to invite anyone if they want to argue at all.
I don't know.
You know what? And I love to fight.
If you haven't thought about it before, now you have.
Yes.
So you're welcome.
You are welcome. Well,
I'm
glad we got that out of our systems. We needed to have a whole ep about that. And I'm glad we did. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, I'm going to just put this app in my email signature now.
Yeah, for real.
I'll link to it.
Well, girls, thank you for joining us on another informative episode of Smell You Later. Leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars and a review, because I know where to find them now. I love hearing
Tynan will be checking for all of them.
I will. I'll be working. Follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. Follow me at Tynan Buck.
And I'm at Sabletooth Tigra. And we will smell you later.
Smell you later.